Today's scripture reading comes from Genesis 3. And I just want to say something. These songs were awesome today. That line about, in the one song about regrets, you know, I've got plenty of those. But you know what? We don't need to wallow in them because he loves us. Amen? Amen. I'm going to do a little shameless plug. On Thursdays, actually every morning except Sunday, at 8:30 a.m. on Stonecastle Radio, Live 365, it's an internet radio station, I read scripture. I read scripture. Every Thursday, I read the soap scripture. So if you want to tune in for that and read along with me, and every Thursday morning at 8:30, it's an internet radio, Stonecastle Radio, I will be reading the soap scripture. Again, Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God, as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Next page. To the woman he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." May God bless the reading of his word.
And amen. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. So that's good news, man. 8:30 on Thursday morning, internet radio, Stonecastle Radio. We're going to go over the scripture, or the soap for the week. That's a great place to tune into. I encourage it. A lot of real classic Christian music is played there, right? Yeah. Not the contemporary stuff too much, but all kinds now? All kinds of music? All right. Good. All right. Sounds good. Sounds good. I'm wearing one of my Christmas gifts. What do you think? What do you think about this? How about this? Look at this. Got my name. Say my name. Most of you can't even say it, can you? Actually, in Polish, you'd say "snedek." That's how you'd say it. "Snedek" in Polish. "Snezek." Though it looks like I'm ready to play some football, when I was growing up, I always wanted to be a rock star. I mean, I'd play air guitar and, you know, play the tennis racket, you know, sing into the lampshade, you know, all kinds of stuff. I just always wanted to be a rock star. Until I heard Geddy Lee. If you don't know who Geddy Lee is, Geddy Lee is the phenomenal bassist, keyboardist, vocalist for Rush. Just phenomenal talent. And I'm listening to an interview on him, and he's just outside of a stadium or something. They're talking to him. Yeah, we had 185 gigs this year. That's a lot of gigs. We haven't been home in months and months and months. See, I wanted to be a rock star until I realized, oh my gosh, those guys just, they're living on the bus, and they're just going from town to town to town to town. And I really was more into the 2 hours that they were on stage. That was so awesome. Forget about the other 22 hours of being on the road, all the anguish, in a new hotel, and struggling through all of that. It just kind of put a little bit of a damper, right? I liked the sound of it, I guess, but probably really wouldn't do well with the reality of it. A lot of people love the idea of a wedding, but not so much marriage. They've sat in my office too many times. There are many things that seem appealing until we get into the inner workings of what it really is. I want to own a house until the toilet backs up or the roof leaks. I can't wait to own a car. I'm going to own a really nice car until the transmission breaks down or it gets dents in it. Some things can also seem appealing, maybe might not be good for us, like road rage. If I didn't think I'd go to jail, I would just ram this car right into yours. Anybody? No? You're calmer than I am. And I don't get road rage. No, over here, yeah, right? Absolutely. Of course. Sure. Or those that are parents, I brought those kids into this world. I can take them out. Right? Some things seem appealing, but again, probably wouldn't like the results of some jail time. Wouldn't suit me well to go to jail, to go be in jail. There are many things in the world that would run contrary to what God would desire for you. Things that can seem oh so sweet. Things that can seem so pleasurable, so delicious, so fulfilling, and so satisfying. I know I would be a great rock star on stage until I had to ride 16 hours in a bus to get to the next performance. Always sounds so sweet, so rewarding, so perfect for you, even glamorous. Ready? Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. You can't get caught up in all of that hype, or you will be swept away. Hype is defined as this: half-truths and misinformation. Don't believe the hype. You can't get caught up in what the enemy would have for you to do. What the enemy would have for you to do. When you start to believe the hype, you'll find yourself in the snare. Just like a fish taking the bait. Come on, just take the bait. Just take the bait. Doesn't it look good? Oh, it looks so delicious. Come on, you know you want to be a rock star. Come on, you know you want it. Come on, you know you want it. Just taking the bait, throwing the bait out there. And this is the kind of the sequence that I kind of ran through in our scripture passage. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden? The woman said, well, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God said we must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it, or you will even die. So here it is. Here's your first one. It's the setup. All right? They're setting you up. Just the setup. Satan is subtle. The serpent is cunning. He's scheming. He's calculating. He's shrewd. He's sly. And the scriptures would say he is a liar, and he's the father of all lies. One of his main objectives is to convince you to do something that you shouldn't do, like Take the bait. Take the bait. It may seem appealing, but you won't like the reality. And the serpent says to the woman, did God really say you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And when you start to listen to the devil, he'll do two things. He'll do a couple things. One, he makes you question God's word. Makes you question God's word as not being truth. Anybody ever been there? Everybody ever been tempted in that way? You're not really walking with the Lord unless you have. You will be challenged and tested in the truth and the reality of God's word. The serpent wants you to question God's word. And then the second thing he does is he makes God look so harsh. He makes God look cruel, unfair, and unjust. And you're going to need to understand that in the garden they had only one rule. Don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. One rule. And it's not like there was sin abounding. It's not like they were afraid. There's no fear. There's no shame. There's no guilt. There's no disease. Did they even know what it meant to die? That's like trying to explain algebra to a five-year-old. Do they even understand? Listen, I'm 58 today. I still don't understand algebra. I'm still working on it. There are hundreds of trees to eat from that they pass by all time, every day, all day, every day, even to get to that one. You can have them all except that one. And the devil wants to set you up for the fall. All the hype is nothing more than deception. It's nothing more than a scheme to get you into a place. Maybe it starts subtle. Maybe it's subtle in the way it starts. He didn't say you couldn't look at it. Surely you can look at it. He didn't say you couldn't look at it. You can look at it. Doesn't it look good? Well, it does look pleasant to the eye. Yeah, scripture's clear. Yeah, sure, it looks pleasant to the eye. Absolutely. Well, he didn't say you couldn't smell it. Why don't you get a little closer and maybe you can smell it a little bit better and get the, that's really good. Like fresh baked chocolate chip cookies good, you know? That's nice. The enemy will convince you to think negative about God. He doesn't mean really what he says. And listen, after all, hey, he's a forgiving God anyway, isn't he? He's a forgiving God anyway, isn't he? So, really, just go ahead. Take a look. Go ahead, you know, just touch it. You know, smell it a little bit. It's going to be good. First thing that Satan's going to do is going to start to get you to doubt God's word. He's going to start to get you to doubt the reality of his word and what he has said and what he's done for us. And then he's going to make it a burden. Oh, it's so burdensome. Oh, my God, I can eat from 99 trees, but not that one. Oh, it's so unfair. It's so wrong. God burdens me with such a heavy load to carry. It's so unfair that I have all of this, but I can't have that. That's unfair, God. You know, my parents are unfair. My church is unfair. My job is unfair. My friends are unfair. God is certainly unfair. Why won't they let me do what I want to do? It's all a big setup. Here, eat the bait. Here you go. Take the bait. See how God is unfair. He doesn't want you to have. You can have all of that, but see how unfair it is that he won't let you have that? That's not for you? See, when subtlety doesn't work, and move you into this place to begin to believe that God is cruel and God doesn't understand you, and God is unfair, and God is unjust. And then he'll move into this place where he'll really just call God a liar. When the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." A lie and the father of lies. For God knows that on the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. Is that a bad thing? You'll know good and evil. The enemy will entice you and hook you with half-truths. The sleight of hand. Oh, no, you're not going to die. You're just going to become aware of some other things. He didn't really mean that you're going to die. He wasn't lying about good and evil, was he? But he's certainly lying about death. Welcome to the introduction of death upon the planet. Why is there death? Thank you, serpent. If this is deception and this disobedience had not taken place, death would have not entered the world. But then again, neither would have clothes. Death and clothes, a product of the fall. Every person that you'll ever talk to, probably going to wear clothes or wearing clothes. Direct product of the fall. And it really wouldn't matter where you go on the planet. People cover themselves. Why is that? Shame entered the world. And it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or you're a Buddhist or you're a Hindu, or it doesn't matter. Sin entered the world and you gained the knowledge of guilt and shame and death. Do you believe God's word? Or do you doubt God's word? Explain death to me then. And by the way, why are you wearing clothes while you're talking to me? See, you don't even know or get. Here's your next slide. Sin may be pleasurable for a season, but the end result is death. The devil's going to show you the pleasure of drinking, but he's not going to show you the results of alcoholism. He's going to show you the pleasures of illicit sex, but not the results of HIV, unwanted pregnancy, broken relationships, mistrust, and broken vows. He's going to show you the pleasure of drugs, but not the results of addiction and broken homes and criminal activity and physical decay. Don't get caught in the trap. Don't get caught up in the snare. We have to learn the schemes of the enemy and the subtle craftiness that leads to, ready, your destruction. That leads to your destruction. Why on earth was the serpent doing this anyway? Your destruction. And nothing has changed about that. Your destruction is what he's after. What will it take for you to learn? Once you get trapped in the setup, this is what happens. It becomes a sellout. You start justifying. You start making excuses. Well, it's not really adultery. Didn't say you couldn't look. You can look. It's not really a lie. It's not really worshiping an idol on your cell phone. Day after day after day after day after day after hour after hour after hour after. It's not really an idol. After all, you could put it down any time. You don't believe it's an idol? Put it away for 3 days. Put it to death for 3 days and then rise it back up again. Resurrect it in 3 days. See if it's not an idol for you. If you can't do it, it might be. Just saying. Just a thought. For some people, it's not. For some people, you wonder. It's really not taking God's name in vain. It's not really a curse word, is it? It's not really skipping the Sabbath and forgetting about church and, you know, forgetting about the fellowship. It's not really that. It's not really lust. It's not really envy. It's not really gossip. I'm really just trying to inquire information so that I might pray about someone. When was the last time you prayed for someone? But you got all the information. Do you recognize the schemes of this enemy within you? Trying to poke and prod at you and throw the darts at you, trying to get you to move into a place. Just take the bait. Just take the bait. He wants to reel you in. And we see it all the time. I see justifications for sin all the time. People make physical decisions. They don't make spiritual or moral decisions. They make physical decisions. They make economic decisions. Not spiritual ones or moral ones. You know what? It's just economically feasible for us to just live together. It makes sense for us financially to do that. And it's really not lust. It's really not envy. It's really not greed. Okay, if you say so. People make emotional decisions all the time, not spiritual ones or moral ones. They make decisions out of fear and anger and lust and envy, day after day after day after day. And those are people in the church. I expect that from the world, don't you? That's in the church. Many people think they're spiritual when they don't, when they act lustful. They think they're spiritual, but they're very greedy. They think they're spiritual, but they're self-serving. And they have adopted the ways of the world. And they have abandoned the ways of the word. And then they wonder, why is God not in my life? Where is God? Why is God not in my life? When you abandoned him a long time ago, do you want him to bless your lust? Do you really want him to bless your greed? Do you really want him to bless your worldliness and your sin? That's like Adam and Eve just saying, hey, Lord, could you put more fruit on the forbidden tree? Ain't that the prayer? Isn't that what we're doing? Are you asking God for more fruit of temptation? Just by the way you're living and the way you're acting. Just by the way in which you will not make spiritual or moral decisions, you'll make economic decisions and physical decisions and emotional decisions. Don't believe the hype. Because when you decide to make your own moral rules based on what you think and not what God says, you've become God. You're your own God. You're your own God. You're your own God. It's like telling the Creator, it really doesn't matter what you have to say. I'm going to do what I'm going to do anyway. And you're your own idol. And you think it's a cell phone. No, you are your own idol. Don't believe the hype. We can see in many ways that even the degradation of a society upon which we might even find ourselves. You know what happens after this in the scriptures and in the passages that follow? The flood. It doesn't get perpetually better. It gets perpetually worse. And I can tell you, I've read the end of the book. From where we are today, it's going to get perpetually worse. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Now listen, I believe that many of you, if not all of you, have wandered into this sanctified holy ground because you believe in a living God. Because you're interested in exploring this idea of what God might mean to me and into my life. And so there's just one really kind of validating question for you to be able to answer that you might know the answer to so that you can get right with God. It's not a hard question, but it applies to everyone. Are you a human being? Are you a human being? See, almost rhetorical, right? Nobody answers that because we all know the answer. We're all human before the Lord. And all humans have appetites. We have these appetites, which the serpent likes to lay out in front of us. We have appetites for things like, really, like an appetite for food. I could go for some chocolate chip cookies. I'm looking forward to that ice cream after church today. And there's appetites. There's appetites we have for popularity, for achievement, for sex. And listen, these appetites are not wrong. You were created with them. Are you a human being? Yes, we're all in this together in that same way. We all desire these things. It's not bad. It's the way in which you were created. However, the serpent likes to manipulate, likes to give you half-truths, likes to make you feel bad about who you are and the things that you're doing, wants to lead you into a place that you should not be going. Every time I go into a restaurant, I don't want the dessert, but I surely want the dessert. But watch. Watch. It's up to me. Oh. It's up to me. It's up to me. It's up to me to control my appetite, to control my desires, to maybe put a line somewhere. See, I have free will. Do you? It's okay. Just go look at it for a while. I have free will. I can look at it or not. I have free will. I can smell it or not. I have free will. I can touch it or not. I have free will. I can take a bite or not. I have free will. Human being, not rights, free will. Free to choose. Free to go. Free to be. See, did you think free will was only for about your moral decision? About your spiritual decisions? Is that your limitation on free will? It's so much more than that. Every day you exercise free will. I chose something to wear, and then I changed into this shirt by my own volition. I didn't hear great voices from God. My free will. God created me in such a way. He created you in such a way. To exercise your free will. Now, we might need to exercise some self-control in that because the enemy wants to bait you. He wants to hook you. He wants to lure you in. Right? Sooner or later, you're not satisfied with the 99. You got to have the one. So, human beings today, good job. You didn't murder anybody. Did you? Sorry, I'll make sure we didn't. Nobody in here murdered today. You have the free will. You could murder. See, you have some exercise of what you can and what, right? It might seem really good. I would like nothing more than to chop that guy's head off, but I probably wouldn't like the reality of the... You get it. You walk in it every single day, day after day. And no temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man. There's no temptation that's going to come against you that isn't common to everybody. But God is faithful. Will not allow you to be tempted that which beyond which you can bear. And with the temptation, he also makes a way for you to escape. Free will. You can choose to not do that. You can choose to not disobey. Or you can choose to disobey. That's on you. You can murder or you cannot. You can rob or not. You can steal or not. It's on you, the way in which God has created you. And God made you amazing. He made you so amazing. But then there's the serpent. Come on. Just tempting you into the wrong things. Bearing you and heavy, laying you heavy with shame and guilt and burdening you. And the world feels so wrong when it's not. The burden of Christ is light. It's freeing. And when you walk in the Spirit of God, when you understand how to walk in the free will that God gave you, you choose to walk in peace. Listen, don't believe the hype, because the hype is just the setup, and then the setup leads to, ready, the cover-up. It leads to the cover-up. Then the eyes of them were, that says, we're going to need a bigger carpet, or we're going to need a bigger rug, sweeping everything under the rug. Let the eyes of both of them then were open, and then they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. See, Eve was deceived, blamed the serpent. Adam disobeyed, blamed even God. And watch, are you ready? told you this several weeks ago. And it wasn't possession. There was no demonic possession. It wasn't any of that. You know what it was? Persuasion. It's just persuasion. You're not demon-possessed. You're demon-persuaded. Do you know the schemes? Do you know what to look for? Are you aware of it, to see it? Do you recognize it in your own soul? Covering up your sin may hide it from others, but it doesn't hide it from God. And then they tried to do things, right? They tried to hide. They tried fig leaves to cover their sin and their shame, right? We call it clothes today. The trees, they tried to hide themselves even behind the trees. Trees that they probably could have eaten the fruit from. We're just hiding ourselves from him. We tend to hide ourselves as well, don't we? We have trees of rationalization. We have trees of justification. We get busy in our work to avoid the complex. Have you been hiding from God? Can you hear it? Add up! Where are you? Are you afraid and ashamed of your naked soul before the Lord? Adam! Where are you? Where are you? God is seeking. Where are you? The Lord wants to be near to you. Where are you? God will find you. And God is going to have to expose and convict us, especially when we try to cover it up. When you hear his voice in a service or in a daily prayer or at church or just in your own consciousness begins to wear on you and move within you and you feel convicted or even sometimes frustrated in your attempts to hide from God, God sheds light. He sheds light into your life. He will expose it. He will make you aware. And you get to exercise your free will. You'll either follow the ways of the world or you'll follow the ways of the Word. Because there's the setup, there's the cover-up. It's going to be difficult for Adam to show himself to God. In all his wickedness and all his shame and all his disobedience and all his disappointing his friend, God, it's difficult for us too. To come from out behind the tree and say, I was hiding from you, God. I've been hiding. For years I've been hiding. And I know I can hear you calling me, but I keep staying behind the tree. It's a challenge to let the fig leaf go. It's a challenge to speak the truth. To stand spiritually naked before God and admit that you're a sinner. That you've missed the mark, that you've gone your own way many, many, many times. And in my case, many, many more times. It's difficult to admit that you struggle in the flesh with temptation. Especially men like to be strong, you know, I'm over all that. No, it's in your mind and in your heart. You falter. And because when you fall for the setup, God must now expose the cover-up. And he does this to bring you back to a place where you can be together and with him in purity and holiness, cleansed and unashamed. Instead of confessing, Adam did what most of us usually do. We blame others. We like to blame others for the mistake. That woman you gave me. Perfect. That woman you gave me. She gave me fruit from the tree and I ate it. She blamed the woman and he blamed the woman and God. It's classic. Can't you hear the words coming out of your own mouth? Blaming somebody else for your. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The serpent deceived me and I ate it. Again, blame, deception, shame. Understanding that cover up is nothing more than an excuse for your action. The devil made me do it. He didn't make you do it. He just put the bait on the hook. And you exercised something God gave you in your free will, and you took the bait. If you don't understand what that looks like or the schemes of the enemy, you're going to be taking a lot of bait and going the wrong way a lot of times. Understand his word, you know what you should be doing and the directions that you should be hearing. My parents didn't raise me the right way. My daddy beat me, I beat my kids. That's how I was raised. Okay. There's too much peer pressure. I had to do it. They made me do it. Everybody else's problem. Everybody else is doing it. Why shouldn't I? Hey, I was born this way. I was born this way. Oh, wait a minute. So you don't have free will then? Oh, you mean you were born with free will, but then you couldn't have been born that way? Which is it? You're going to believe the world, or you're going to believe the word? You choose. As far as me and my house, we will choose to serve the Lord. How about you? See, it's not like they're guilty of the gossiping tongue. No. It's the horrible thing they did. I have to tell everybody so that there's an awareness. It's never about the lie you told. It's all about the things that they did that you need to be able to share because they can't handle the truth. It's never about the swearing. It's never about the cursing. It's always something they did to make me angry. It's something they did to make me sad. It's something they did to make me frustrated. It's always someone else's issue that influences my life and causes me to sin. Their behavior causes you to sin. Well, that's an interesting philosophy. That's an interesting philosophy. Good luck with your excuses before the holy and righteous God. Don't believe the hype. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Believing the hype will just cause you to get set up by the enemy, and the setup leads you to a cover-up. And for every setup and for every cover-up, there's always going to be a pay-up. Here's your next one. There's always a pay-up. There's a pay-up. Oh, did I skip right over that one? Oh, go back to that one. That one's really awesome. Cover your sin, God will expose you. Expose your sin, God will cover you. I guess I blew right by that one. Here's your next one, the pay-up. There's a pay-up. The serpent's caused to slither on the ground. That's why we always associate it with a snake now, right? Was he a snake before he was cursed to be on the ground? That's an interesting little question, isn't it? Feel free to write a theological dissertation concerning that. The woman has pain in childbirth. Any women? Children? Thank Eve. Right? Men, toil and labor. Right? We were called to work in the Garden of Eden. That's not a problem. But you know what? And it's going to happen now with all your toil and labor? Nothing. You know what it amounts to? Dust and rust. That's what it amounts to. All your toil is worthless. Why? You die. Nothing in this life comes without a consequence, and do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For he who sows in the flesh will reap of the flesh and reap corruption. But he who sows by the Holy Spirit will of that same Spirit receive everlasting life. Do you want to walk in the ways of the world, or do you want to walk in the ways of the Word? But the day will surely come when it's time to pay up. The struggle to carry the weight of your shame and embarrassment and humiliation, disgrace and dishonor can often be very public. I just talked to many pastors that have been shamed right out of the pulpit. I know you know some by name. Often very public where everybody sees it. God's got to expose it. put light upon it. The weight of sin, the exposure to ridicule, the guilt that you can wear, the heavy stain of a dark reputation, a past that can haunt you for decades in your lifetime. But, Pastor, you might be here today trying to make all your excuses and all your rationalization. And if you're in a place from trying to hide from God, all I can say is, come out wherever you are. Come out wherever you are. The heavy shame, the heavy disgrace, the heavy humiliation, Jesus paid it all. You're looking at it right there. You're looking at it in remembrance of what he has done for you. He paid it all. How much? How much? I got some good news. Jesus paid it all. God demonstrates his own love toward us. That while we were still sinners, while we were still hiding behind the tree, Christ would die for us. Now, having been reconciled by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved in new life? Folks, it's not just redeemed, it's saved. Oh, it's not just reconciliation, it is saved. Are you with me? It's not just remade, it's reborn into a new life. Guilt washed away. Shame removed. No more need to hide. Today, walk in the acceptance that God has for you. Walk in the power to overcome death. Live a life walking with the Lord, not hiding anymore. Come out wherever you are. Adam, where are you? Come out wherever you are. It's all been paid. All the guilt, all the shame. All for you. Aren't you glad God had a plan? He had a plan. He provided a way for you to escape. He provided a way for you for healing. He provided a way for you for salvation. To be back in the graces of God, where you might walk in the garden in the cool of the evening with God. He doesn't want to be apart from you. Do you want to be apart from him? You choose the ways of the world or the ways of the Word. You've been looking at it all service. There's the setup, the cover-up, because the wages of your sin is death. But the pay-up is paid, and it's paid in full, once for all. One for all. Place your faith in Jesus today. Wash away your shame. Wash away your guilt. Stand cleansed before the Lord. Don't hide behind the tree anymore. The punishment that should be upon you, Jesus paid. The curse that should have been yours is upon Jesus. The stain that should be upon your soul that would separate you from God for all eternity has been washed clean. Jesus paid the price. Today, I would pray that you would exercise your free will and you would come to the Lord and say, Lord, wash me clean. Today, wash me clean. As we partake in communion together, may that be what happens here today as we remember what Christ has done for us. You don't have to be a member of this church. All you have to know is that you have accepted and believe in the work of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Come out wherever you are. Stop hiding. Receive what God has for you, which is love, grace, mercy, and the cleansing of your soul. Would you pray with me as the elders come forward? Those that will help me distribute. Father, I thank you for this opportunity where we can gather here together today. Father, I would pray your blessing over these elements, Father, that as we partake of them today, we would recognize what you have done for us. And the punishment that should be ours was upon Jesus. And so, Father, by partaking, we accept and receive Jesus as our Savior and our Lord.